6, where the Bible reads, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, this is a great scripture on prayer, and it's a great scripture on having peace with God about things that are happening in our lives. A lot of people tend to worry, and that's what I want to preach about tonight. And another scripture that I wanted to show you, go to Deuteronomy 15 if you would. But in 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible reads, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And so that's the same wording that we saw in Philippians 4, where he said, be careful for nothing. When he's saying care or being careful, he's basically talking about being worried about things. And he's saying, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. He's saying, instead of worrying about what's going to happen, just pray to God for the outcome that you need. Pray to God to step in and take care of the situation. And he said, at that point, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why? Because in 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. And so I've got a whole list of things tonight that are the type of things that people tend to worry about. And there's a lot of great scriptures on why we should not worry about these things. Now, God said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But look at verse 4 of Deuteronomy 15. He said, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. So here's what it comes down to. Instead of being careful and worried about things that are out of our control, circumstances or situations that we're in, what we ought to be worried about is whether or not we're obeying God's commandments. He said the thing that we ought to be careful about is that we need to be careful to hearken unto the voice of the Lord our God and to observe to do all these commandments which He's commanded us this day. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So there's really nothing to worry about in life when you realize that God is the one who is in control of our lives as believers. Now go to Matthew chapter 6. The first thing that people tend to worry about is their financial situation or their job situation. And especially these days, that's a worry on a lot of people's minds. A lot of people who had a lot of financial prosperity just a few years ago are now going through a much leaner time. Maybe they don't have a job, or maybe their job has reduced their pay, or what have you. And so a lot of people today are worried about finances. Now really, the crux of the sermon is this. God is the one who determines any of the things I'm going to list tonight. Like for example, your finances. God, the Bible says, owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. God can instantly give you any amount of money He wants to give you. You say, well, it's not possible. Remember that guy who told that to Elisha? When Elisha said, oh, tomorrow there's going to be tons of food, there's going to be tons of money, and the food's going to be so cheap. And the guy said, if God should make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And it happened. Because God can do anything. Okay? And so instead of worrying, oh man, my financial situation, I don't know what I'm going to do about my job, you know, what we ought to worry about is our standing with God. Because if our standing with God is right, He has promised over and over again to supply our needs. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So instead of worrying and fretting and tossing and turning, just pray and just say, God, I'm doing the commandments. I'm trying my best. I'm serving You. I'm out there winning souls. I'm going to church. Please meet my needs. Please provide financially. Please give us this day our daily bread. And then what we ought to do is go to bed and sleep like a baby. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should rule our hearts at that time. Because we know we've done what we're supposed to do, and now we just leave the rest to God and not worry about things that are out of our control. Look at Matthew 6, verse 25. The Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" And tell that to these environmentalists that think that a spotted owl is more important than a human being. The Bible says a person is much better than an animal, does it not?
Yeah, amen.
He said, you're much better than they, but yet our heavenly Father feeds them. He takes care of every bird and sparrow. He said in verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment?" Why do you worry about clothes, he's saying. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Isn't it interesting how man's clothing styles and fashions can never live up to the beauty that God has created.
Amen.
He said the flowers and the scenery that God has created, no painting could ever match the magnificence of God's creation. And even Solomon, with all the money in the world that anybody could want, could not be clothed as gloriously as the lilies of the field. He says, "Wherefore, if God so clothed," verse 30, "the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" What does he mean by take no thought? Don't worry about it. He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about where the next meal is going to come from, where the clothes are going to come from. God will take care of it. Look at verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So isn't God telling us not to worry? Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothes. I will not allow my children to starve. I mean, would you allow your children to starve? Or to go naked because of a lack of clothing? Well, neither will God. He will provide food and raiment for his children. He has promised to do so. We need to just be careful and seek diligently to serve him and obey him, and he will take care of the rest. That's a big thing that people worry about. You know, another thing that people worry about sometimes is, you know, they worry about being arrested, or they worry about having their children taken away from them. Now, there might be someone who'd say, that's crazy, you know, they're paranoid. Well, you know, you look in the Bible, a lot of people got arrested. And today we're living in some really strange times and perilous times where there are a lot of laws that are being made that really go against God's people and that are out to persecute God's people. Go to John chapter 19. And maybe that's not something that you've worried about, but some people have worried about it. But we ought not worry about it. Look what the Bible says in John 19. This is one of my favorite passages right here. In John 19 verse 9, look at this. The Bible says, "And when he get into the judgment hall," this is Pontius Pilate goes to the judgment hall, "and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou?" He's basically saying, where did you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. "Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And so here Pilate is threatening Jesus and saying, how dare you not answer me? Don't you know who I am? I am the governor of this entire nation. He's saying, I have the power to crucify you and I have the power to release you. Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Look at the response in verse 12. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Boy, that shut him up pretty fast, didn't it?
Yeah, right.
He was so tough a minute ago. Oh, I have the power to release you or to crucify. And then he's like, oh, we need to let this guy go. He said, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that's called pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha, and on and on. Of course, you know the story. Pilate ends up allowing Jesus to be crucified. He washes his hands of it and says, I'm free from the blood of this just person. The Jews cried out and said, his blood be on us and on our children. One of the most scary statements in the entire Bible, that anybody would actually make that statement about the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. But you see here that there are those that are out there to persecute God's people. Jesus Christ was arrested here. Jesus Christ was beaten. Jesus Christ was persecuted and killed. And he said that others would follow in his footsteps, unfortunately. Not everyone will follow his footsteps, but of course we know that people like Peter, you know, followed in those footsteps. Jesus told him he would go that route. And of course we know that people like Stephen were stoned, and people like the Apostle Paul were beaten and thrown in prison. And you know, it'd be easy to worry about that and say, you know what? I'm afraid that I'm going to get arrested, or I'm afraid that I'm going to go to prison, or I'm afraid that my children are going to be taken captive from me, as happened throughout the Bible. But you know what? The truth of the matter is that those that are in authority today that would persecute God's people, they have no power at all except what God allows them to have. God can protect you from any of these things. I mean, God could have protected Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, you know, I could call 12 legions of angels at any time I want to come and release me. But how then would the scripture be fulfilled? And so it's not our job that holds our fate in its hands. It's not our job. It's not the bank. It's not our financial situation. It's not the government. It's God. He can protect us from doom in any of these areas. And so instead of worrying about it and fearing man, we ought to just fear God and worry about what he thinks, because he can protect us from any of this. Now, you know, you say, well, but Jesus got arrested. Yeah, but it was God's will for this to go forward, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Stephen was stoned, but that was God's will, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. These things did not happen by accident. Here's another thing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's another thing that people worry about. Because, you know, I was just trying to go through and list in my mind, what is it that people worry about? Because God said, be careful for nothing. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So that means we shouldn't worry about the finances. We shouldn't worry about getting arrested. And you know, a lot of people, they won't obey God because they fear the government. That's why I bring out that point. People are afraid to spank their kids because, oh man, my children are going to be taken away. Look, you ought to fear God if you disobey the Bible when the Bible said to spank your children.
Amen.
That's what you ought to be afraid of. That's what you ought to worry about. You ought to worry whether or not you diligently obeyed all the commandments of the Lord. And one of those commandments, the book of Proverbs, is very clearly to spank your children with the rod.
Yep.
That's what you ought to worry about. You're like, oh, I'm worried about CPS. I'm worried about the government. You know, you ought to worry about God.
Amen.
Because they would have no power at all except what God allows them to have. Yep. God can protect you from them. God's will be done. God can protect you. That's what you ought to worry about. People will do this. They'll put their job before church. They'll miss a bunch of church so that they can go work. Even though there's 168 hours in the week, church fills up about 3 of those hours. They'll put their job first and church second. And you know what? They ought to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Yep. They ought to be seeking first soul winning and the word of God and so forth. And not put it on the back seat because they're just so worried about their finances that they have to miss a bunch of church and put all that on the back burner so that they can make money. You know, they ought to just worry about what God thinks because God can provide the needs. But you know, another thing that people often worry about is they get nervous and worried about shame and embarrassment in their life. You know, we already talked about financial ruin, right? None of us wants that to happen, but let's not worry about it. None of us wants to be arrested or have our kids taken away from us. You know, we shouldn't worry about that, though. But you know, what about shame and embarrassment? Many people, this is what they worry about, being embarrassed. You know, some people are afraid to preach because they're afraid they're going to get up and make a fool of themselves and mess up. And a lot of people are afraid to go soul winning. They're worried. You know, oh man, I'm afraid I'm going to be embarrassed. Maybe they're worried about giving the gospel to a loved one or a friend or a family member because they're nervous about being ashamed or embarrassed. And you say, well, Pastor Anderson, is God going to protect us from shame and embarrassment? You know, he's going to take care of our finances, okay? He's going to protect us from arrest and imprisonment. If we are arrested or imprisoned, it's according to his will. He allows that to happen sometimes to put us through trials and tribulations. What about shame and embarrassment? That's what sometimes people worry about. Well, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we're what?
Despised.
Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed. Now, isn't that shame and embarrassment?
Yeah.
Being defamed? Being a spectacle? Being a gazing stock? Being despised? He said, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Now look, the Bible clearly says here that the Apostle Paul was basically subjected to shame and embarrassment publicly. Is that true or false?
True.
That's what it says. I mean, he's the offscouring. He is reviled. He's made fun of. He's mocked. Look, Jesus was mocked.
Right.
Jesus was made fun of. Jesus was reviled. And the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross despising the shame. He didn't want to face the shame and embarrassment of being hung on display, of being beaten, spat upon, mocked, ridiculed, reviled. But he did it anyway. Okay. And so we ought not worry about shame and embarrassment in our lives. You know why? Because if we are shamed and embarrassed in our lives, then we are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. We're following in his footsteps. God never intended for us to be cool. God never intended for us to be the most popular and well-loved and well-known. He intended us to suffer in his footsteps. And so there are going to be times when we may be faced with shame and embarrassment. Maybe a fool will be made of us. But you know what? If we're fools for Christ's sake, look at verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you're wise in Christ. You know what? If you're a fool for Christ's sake, you're no fool at all. Because you know what? Great is your reward in heaven. And you know, people are going to mock you and ridicule you many times for preaching what's right. Or for standing up for what's right. Or for doing what's right. And you know, sometimes everybody does stupid things, don't they? Everybody makes mistakes and does foolish things. And you know what? When you're somebody who is a righteous person and you're somebody who's serving God and trying to do what's right, people are going to be all over you when you do something stupid. You know, when you make a mistake. They love that because they love to take you down a notch, right? Because when you're lifted up amongst men, people will love to fire at you and bring you down and take you down. And you know, when you're at your job, when you're known as the person at your job, who is the one who's a Christian? Who's the one who's a believer? Oh man, people are looking for you to mess up. They're looking for you to say something dumb, to do something dumb, so they can jump all over that and take you down a notch. Because it's just like Cain persecuting Abel and Ishmael persecuting Isaac and on and on and on. And so, you know, that's something that I think people worry about. They worry about what other people think about them, don't they?
Yep.
They worry about what people think. And they're afraid of being embarrassed. They're afraid of being ashamed. But you know what we ought to do? Just leave that with God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know, if God wants you to be exalted, He'll exalt you. And if God wants you to be humbled and humiliated, even so, amen, you're a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. And so that's not something we should worry about. We shouldn't worry about being ashamed or embarrassed. We ought to just do what's right, serve the Lord. And you know, people have often said to me, you know, aren't you afraid? afraid of sometimes, you know, because I put my preaching out on the internet and sometimes it garners a lot of attention that way. And people say, you know, are you afraid of bringing all this attention down on yourself? But you know what the bottom line is? It's not about me. It's not about my image. You know, I don't necessarily have the greatest image in the world.
I have an image problem.
No, I'm just kidding. But you know, I don't necessarily have the greatest. I don't necessarily walk around town and everybody just loves me everywhere I go. Hey, how you doing? Hey, buddy, good to see you. Yeah, yeah. You know, everywhere I go. All the local businesses, all the local establishments. You know, it's not necessarily that way. Okay. But you see, when I make decisions in my life, I don't want to make my decisions based on this. Oh, how does this make me look? How am I going to come across? How am I going to look if I do X? No, it should just be, is X right? Is this the right thing to do? Is this what God wants me to do? Is this what's going to get the gospel to people? Is this what's going to get the truth out? Not, oh, how do I look? How do people perceive me? What is my image? That shouldn't matter, because honestly, the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about making Him look good. It's about making the Bible the centerpiece, not ourselves. So, you know, Paul said, you know, I'm weak. I'm dishonorable. I'm despised. I made it. But he said, but you're strong. But the gospel's being preached. You know, that's what ought to matter the most. Something else that people might worry about. Go to James chapter 5. You know, some people worry about their health. And the Bible covers this as well. James chapter 5 talks about someone having poor health. Because, you know, health is something that people worry a lot about. Because, you know, it's like Satan said in Job. He said, you know, everything that a man hath will he give for his flesh. You know, and honestly, no matter how much money you have, no matter how good things are going in your life, man, bad health can really just destroy you and take you down. And the richest person in the world, you know, they can't fight this stuff. When bad health hits them, they're just as helpless as the poorest of us. Look at James chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the Bible is saying there that sometimes when people are sick, it's a result of sin. Now, the mistake is when people think that if you're sick, it's always a result of sin. Well, obviously not. Okay, that's like your name it, claim it, prosperity preaching. You know, if you serve God, you're never going to get sick. Well, that's a false doctrine. Yeah. There are people in the Bible who got sick. Job hadn't done anything wrong, and he was struck with a horrible illness. Okay, the Apostle Paul was ill. Other people in the Bible became ill. There was a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples said, well, who sinned? You know, why is this guy blind? Was it his parents that sinned, or was it him that sinned? He said it was neither him nor his parents. He was blind for the glory of God. Okay, you know, that was God's plan. And so, when we are sick, what we need to realize is that God has the power to heal any sickness. Amen. Any sickness.
Amen.
No matter if it's the most terminal illness, leprosy, cancer, whatever, God has the power to heal. And the Bible says that we should pray for one another that we would be healed when illness comes. Instead of just worrying and fretting over illness, realize that God has the power to heal. Now, God doesn't always heal every illness. Sometimes God allows us to be ill for whatever purpose, for His glory. But God has the power, so if He chooses to heal us, He can anytime He wants to, or if He chooses to let us be sick, but it's all according to His will. So instead of worrying about that, let's just worry about not sinning against God. Now, a lot of people would not agree with what I'm saying here, that sometimes people are sick because they've committed sin. But the Bible says here that when someone is sick, they should call for the elders of the church. And obviously this doesn't mean, you know, oh, I have a cold. You know, Pastor Aronson, can you come over and pray for me? You know, can you come anoint me with oil? Obviously this is a serious illness. Okay. And it's talking about somebody who's in really bad shape, where they're basically bedridden here. And he says that they would call for the elders of the church, and they would pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, meaning raise him up out of his sickened condition. And if he have committed sins. So again, this isn't just he was sick because he's in sin. No, but in case that is why. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So again, instead of worrying about illnesses and pray, we should pray to God. The prayer of faith has the power to save the sick and to heal the sick. And we should pray for one another we would be healed instead of fretting and worrying about it. Another thing that people could be worried about would be injury. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. Because here's another thing that someone could be worried about, and that's giving birth. Now, my wife's giving birth in a few weeks here, God willing. Why are you making a face at me? Well, you're due in a couple weeks. She thinks she's going to give birth any day now. You know, she's at that point where it could happen any day now. But technically, she's due in a couple weeks. And we have other ladies in our church that are expecting also. And I'll bet you probably, if we were to ask the ladies in the church, have you ever worried about giving birth, going to labor? Obviously, that's probably something that they would all say, hey, this is something that's a worry on your mind. Why? Because first of all, every time you give birth, you are literally, and you know, I hope this doesn't make you worry more, you're risking your life. Seriously. I mean, it is a serious undertaking to give birth. And even with all the modern technology and modern accoutrements, you know, it still is something where you're risking your life. Not only that, but just sometimes there can be a worry of just a painful birth and complications. Or worry that the child is going to be okay. You know, you might worry about the life of the child or the health of the child. And these are worries that probably every mother has when she's expecting. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 66:9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? You see, God has the power to open and close the womb. And God has the power to bring to the birth and to cause to bring forth and to cause the child to be born. And you see, there are times when women die giving birth. And there are times when children die during birth. And there are times when things go wrong. But what you have to understand is that this is all in God's hands. And so worrying about it is not going to accomplish anything. What you ought to do is pray about it. And let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, God is able to cause the birth to go well. And to be safe. And to be healthy for both mother and baby. Now, here's the situation. All of our lives today are in God's hands.
Amen.
We're all I always like to say it this way. All of our lives are always hanging by a thread. That's the way I always see myself. That's the way I see my life. That's the way I see my finances. That's the way I see my health and my safety. Is that all of our lives are always hanging by a thread all the time. Because the Bible says that our breath is in God's hands. I mean, God could literally, at this moment, just go like this, and I can't breathe anymore. I mean, God is the one who allows me to be alive. And you know, every day, we should be thankful to God that He has given us another day to live and to serve Him. He is the one that's keeping us alive. Now, if a woman were to die during childbirth, or if a child were to die during that birth, and we're talking about God's people. We're not just talking about random people across, you know, this nation. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians. I'm talking about God's children, God's people that love and serve Him. It would not be an accident. It's not like, oh man, we didn't worry enough. We didn't worry and plan enough, and so accidentally somebody died. No. If I die, I'm telling you this, if I die tomorrow, it's not going to be an accident. Now, somebody might say, oh, he got in a horrible car accident. But you know what? God is there to protect. And if God wants me to live another 50 years, I will live another 50 years. If God decides that I should die tomorrow in a car wreck, I'm going to die tomorrow in a car wreck. So I'm not going to sit there and worry about my life and worry about injury, worry about sickness, because God is the one that holds these things in His hands. I mean, I believe that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. It's a fact. And look, ladies, when you're going to give birth, realize it's in God's hands. I mean, whatever's going to happen is going to happen if you've prayed about it. Now, if you haven't prayed about it, if you're not trusting in the Lord, if you have not cast all your care upon Him, then you know what? Like the rest of the world, then you're on your own. But when you pray to God, we know that He hears us. When you pray to God and ask God for safety, ask God for His blessings upon your childbirth or whatever it is, God's going to answer that prayer. And if He chooses to allow something to go wrong, then He has a reason why. It's for His glory. There's some reason that we may not understand. Maybe later we'll understand. Maybe we'll never understand it. But worrying about these things is not going to accomplish anything. It's much better just to realize, and it should give you peace to know, hey, it's all in God's hands. I can just relax and know that whatever the outcome, it's going to work together for good for those that love God and for those that are the called according to His purpose. You see, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And you say, but Pastor Anderson, sometimes things do go wrong. But if it goes wrong, it's because God allowed it to go wrong, and that is in His wisdom, and who are we to question that? And if I die tomorrow, then so be it. Amen. Then I'll be in heaven. If I get in a car accident and I'm mangled and mutilated and I have to have my legs amputated, then so be it. That's obviously what God wanted to happen. But I'm not going to sit and worry about it. What you ought to worry about is going out and committing a bunch of sin, because then you might get in a car accident and get your legs mangled, and it wasn't because it was God's will. It's because you're being punished for all the sin that you're into. You see, we ought not sit and worry when we're doing what's right. Let me just say it this way. When we're doing what's right, we have nothing to worry about. Amen. Nothing. I mean, if you get up in the morning and you read your Bible like you're supposed to, and you pray like you're supposed to, and you live your life trying to serve God, obeying His commandments, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're going to church, you're doing and look, I know nobody's perfect. But if you are in His will, you're living a life that's pleasing to Him, you can just not worry about anything in life. You shouldn't have a care in the world. I mean, you should be going through life as careless as a little child. I mean, my children, they have no worries. They have no cares. My children, they wake up in the morning. They don't have to worry about bills. You think my children are stressed out right now about paying the bills? You think they're worried about, oh man, another mouth to feed. What are we going to do, Dad? You think that's what they think about? You think they sit there and think, man, alive, how are we going to get through this recession? Or where are we going to pay for this and that? You know, do you think that the kids wake up and they worry about, what if we get in a car accident and we all die? You know, what if we, what if this, what if that? What if we're arrested? That's not what they worry about. You know what? They just go through life as carefree as can be. Why? Because they know that their parents are going to take care of everything. Isn't that why? Now look, if all of a sudden mom and dad were gone and we just threw them out in the street, you know, they'd start getting worried really fast about where the next meal is going to come from, wouldn't they? I mean, if the kids were just abandoned, they'd start stressing about meals and food and raiment and drink. But living in our house, they have no worries. They don't worry about the house payment. They don't worry because you know what? They just know that their parents have got everything under control. Their parents are always going to have food there. They've always had the right clothes for them. They're always taken care of. If they're sick, they know they're going to be taken care of. But you know what? That's the same exact faith that we should have in our lives. We should have the faith of a child because our Heavenly Father up in heaven is going to take care of everything. We should just go through life completely carefree. That's why He said be careful for nothing. We should go through life not worried about anything. Just completely stress-free and just say, you know what? Dad's got everything taken care of. What am I going to do? Where are we going to pay for this? Dad will take care of it. He's got it covered. He's got it figured out. He's always fed us in the past. And he'll always feed us in the future. And so the only chance that my children ever have of skipping a meal would be like one of those things of, you're going to bed with no dinner, you know, because you're fooling around at the table or whatever. And that's really what our life is like. You know, as long as we don't fool around at the spiritual table, as long as we don't, you know, fuss and fight and bicker and get into trouble, we know we're going to get a good breakfast, a good lunch, and a good dinner every day because God's going to take care of us. God's going to provide. And so we ought not fret and worry and stress. You know what other people worry about? They worry about the future of their life. Some people worry that they're never going to be able to have children. And they worry and stress about that. But God opens and closes the womb. But you know what there are other people who worry about? I'm going to have too many children. When is this going to stop? They just keep coming. You know, that's what some people... And probably, there's probably an equal number worrying about both. There are probably just as many people worrying about having too many as having not enough. You know, it's just people are just worrying. Instead of just realizing, you know what? There are certain things in my life that I can control. And there are certain things in my life that I can't control. And I just need to just worry about the things that I have control over. You know, I can serve God. I can choose to read the Bible. I can choose to do what's right. And I'm going to let God handle the rest. I'm going to cast all my care upon Him and let Him take care of it and let Him be responsible for it. And you know what? It's easier said than done, but this is where we ought to be spiritually, where we can just not worry about anything. Just not worry about it. Except for one thing. Worry about obeying God. Am I doing what's right? Have I done everything I'm supposed to do? And everything else should fall into place on its own. And look, bad things are going to happen in our lives, but when they do, here's the thing. When bad things happen in our lives, if we know, hey, God's allowing this to happen, God's bringing this into my life as a trial and tribulation to strengthen me, it's a lot easier to go through that with that assurance. What's hard is when bad things happen in our lives and we're thinking, oh, this is happening because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's harder to deal with. Okay. When we suffer as an evildoer, there's no rejoicing in that. But when we suffer as a Christian, the Bible says we should rejoice because God's testing us, God's purging us, we're going to be rewarded for that. And so I just want you to not worry tonight is what I'm saying. God doesn't want us to worry about finances. God doesn't want us to worry about health and imprisonment and injury. And look, you could walk out that door and get struck by lightning. You know what I mean? And people sometimes they worry about the silliest thing. Oh, I'm going to get on an airplane. It's going to blow up. Is what somebody said to me a couple days ago. I'm so scared. They said, I'm so scared of bombs when I get on the airplane. And you say to them, you know, your chance of being blown up on an airplane is like, you know, less than being struck by lightning. It's like less than getting stung by a bee and dying. Or getting bit by a scorpion. You know, maybe I shouldn't have brought that up because we found some scorpions in my house. So anyway, bad subject. Sorry, honey. Don't worry about it, honey. Okay? God is controlling these little creatures. He can guard. The angel of the Lord will step on that scorpion and smash it. But honestly, you could be laying in bed tonight, and I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but you could be laying in bed tonight and some scorpion could just climb on you and just sting you all night long. Some poisonous spider could bite you from head to toe. I'm serious. I mean, it could just bite you every square inch of your skin from head to toe. You know, a tree can fall on your house tonight and flatten your whole family. But are you going to go through life just worrying about it?
What about the satellite?
But some people are. Some people do. They just go through life and they just worry about it. Just, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to happen with this? Look, you could lose your job tomorrow. You could be struck by lightning. You could be arrested. You could be beaten and flogged and have all your children taken away from you. You could be shamed and embarrassed and made a fool of and lose everything tomorrow. But here's the thing. God is the one who decides whether or not those things happen to you or not. If a tree falls on your house, it's not going to be an accident. It's because God decided to allow that to happen. And so decide right now that you're not going to be a person who goes through life just worrying about silly things. Just rely on Dad, rely on your Heavenly Father to provide and to protect from all these things, and just have peace in your heart and don't worry about anything. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, please just help us to put this sermon into practice. It's a lot easier said than done. But help us to cast all of our care upon you, because we know that you do care for us. And that if you even watch the birds and care for them and feed them, that you will be much more attentive to feed us and take care of us. God, help us to have the faith to believe that anything that happens to us in our life, it's because you allowed it. And help us to just trust you, that you know best, and to just trust you to allow things into our lives as we need them. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.